You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome in to Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective. And the Pirates get a big win, 92-89 over Georgia Southern, the Eagles. And we're going to fly into the northern part of Virginia now, Haymarket, Virginia. And let's talk to Johnny Robertson. What's up, JR?
Hey, Dave. Wow, I enjoyed that. You know, it's great to get the first win under your belt. And, I mean, truthfully, as anybody was watching the game, that could have gone either way. I do feel we were the better team, and we proved it at the end. And, you know, I like a lot of the stuff I saw tonight.
Yeah, me being, man, those were two big free throws. And then it just seemed like, I don't know, that was it me or did the referees, like, they kept putting more and more time on the clock. I'm like, stop. I don't know if it was right or wrong, but I'm like, stop putting more time back on the clock.
Yeah, I thought it was like 1.3 seconds too much, but, you know, it worked out for us. You know, we got some breaks there at the end. I think we have two point guards. I mean, you know, Corey Walker played really well, very low. I think he had 5 assists and 2 turnovers. And then Mbang, he had 8 assists himself and 4 turnovers. But, you know, their turnovers came late. Like, they really didn't have any turnovers until the last few minutes, and especially in that last minute, I think Corey had one and Mbang had two. But Jordan Riley saved us by, you know, getting Corey's turnover. He got it back and drove the lane and made that layup. And that was, you know, that's another thing that worked out for us. That was like an NBA and one. Like, I was surprised at the count of that basket.
I was too. You talk about continuation, man. That was like they did that. But we got the win. One thing I will say, Johnny, I'm a stickler, as you already know, on free throws. And at one point in the second half, I've been looking for the official results. Haven't got the email yet, but I know they're working hard, and they probably will by the time we get off the air here. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the chat box and the comment section of wherever you're watching or listening. We'll try to get those for you. But, Johnny, I really was I'll tell you, the Reed Kaysen, man. Kaysen was a big surprise for me. I've heard good things. But you know how it is, Johnny, when it's your team and then people close to the program. But Kaysen looked a lot better tonight. I felt like he was more comfortable and more tonight.
He was absolutely more comfortable. And I was much more comfortable with him in there. You know, for a big man, I'm used to Ezra and I'm not going to, I won't mention names, but sometimes our guys in the post, their hands are just, they can't handle, you know, passes inside the paint. And boy, that's not the case with Reed. His hands were really, really good tonight. And you can't fake that. So, you know, that's something, that's the biggest improvement I saw. Plus his confidence. You know, what was he at one point? 6 for 6, I think. I mean, granted, they were, you know, he wasn't taking any deep shots, but they were all in the points in the paint. But Reed Kaysen, I agree with you. Very, very very, very happy at what I saw with him and surprised, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, and Jordan Riley, what can you say? I mean, when he fouled out, it was only 19 seconds, but boy, it might as well have been 5 minutes on the clock. But that guy is special. He's playing a lot better. And, you know, I think Patrick Johnson said on the television, the broadcast, that Moore was RJ Felton last year centered around the offense. But now you have Jordan Riley, and he was it 22 points?
Yeah,
I forgot how many points he had. It's something like that. But again, forgive us, folks. We're waiting on the stats.
No, I know he had 22 points.
I thought that was right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as fouling out goes, I'm not really shocked at that. At the pace that this game was being played, the number of possessions that had to be defended, they had two players foul out as well.
White and Carter.
Yeah. Well, let me just back up. You were talking about foul shooting, and okay. I have to tell you, that was a disappointment. I think we were 63%, but that ended up winning the game for us. I know that's I know it sounds odd, but this game was a statistical like deadlock. Like we were very easily, very evenly matched. They had the advantage in 3-point shooting. We got to get better on defending the three.
Yeah.
But we made up for it by making 8 more free throws, and they made, 5 more threes. So that was the 3-point difference. But, you know, Trevi LeBeau was not in this game. People need to understand that this is not the same team you're going to be seeing later. Jay Shane Woodard had to go out. He only played 19 innings. I'm still in baseball mode. He only played 19 minutes. I think the knee was aggravated, and I'm just hoping that that's something that just needs a little bit of rest. I mean, he went to the locker room, he came out, he got on the bike, so it can't be that bad, but you know, we need him. We need Jay Shane. We need Trevi, because especially perimeter defenders, both of them are very good at that. And they were getting their, you know, when they were shooting their threes, they had their feet under them and they were getting easy looks. And at one point, you know, we had two players that ran away from their best player on the baseline there, and he literally sat there with the ball for like 1 or 2 seconds, measured it out, and then just drained it. And I was like, wow, we got it. You know, it's first game of the season. We'll get it worked out. But another thing that bothered me was when they got they missed the free throw, and the ball just hit the heel of the rim, and it didn't come out. You know, it wasn't like it came out. It just came to the side of the rim, and they got it, put it in, and they made it, you know, plus and one, and they made a 3-point play out of it. And that should have never happened. We should have easily controlled that rebound. And that 3-point play, that gave them momentum. You know, they were going on a run. They had a couple of runs, you know, during that game that got them back in it.
Definitely a first game as you saw bright spots, I think you could argue, for both teams, trying to be fair also for the Eagles of Georgia Southern. And, you know, that I really liked. I tell you another thing we've talked about. I know on the preview or for the actual TSO Sunday night or whatever, when we don't have a playback, we're talking about the basketball schedule, Johnny, much better this year. And I'll just say this. I was just thinking about before we started the show, I would much rather, and I know how you feel on this, but I would much rather play Georgia Southern for the first game instead of a Division II or Division II game.
I think you and every other Pirate fan would agree with that statement. I mean, it's almost useless to watch a D2 game.
Yeah.
You can't take anything from it. But this you can take something from. And we still don't really know how good Georgia Southern is. I feel like they may be better than I thought they were just by reading and, you know, looking at what they did last season and who they were bringing back. But they were not a terrible basketball team by any stretch.
No. And Chuck puts up there, says that our 3-point shooting non-existent. You know, that's one of the things that we've been talking about for years, Johnny, as you know, watching the show, listening as you have, and now you're part of our team, is You know, Bubba and I have said for years doing this show, if you make just two or three threes, right, it's the difference between winning and losing a lot of these games. And so we definitely have to continue to work on that. But I think a lot of that is I'm going to chalk that up as the very first game where you've been scrimmaging against these guys. The basketball team's been together since June. And they've told me personally at the media day, I miss you so much, Johnny. Hate that you couldn't make it. Totally understand, business is business. But they told me that they were tired of playing against each other. They're ready for an opponent. They're ready for the Eagles.
Yeah, and this was their first look. And, you know, Corey Cocker, he played he played a while at the local community college here. Yeah, so I kind of count him as a Virginian. Anyhow, he didn't have the best, you know, debut, but there's no doubt in my mind. I love his vision. I mean, he's definitely, from an assist standpoint, he can find the open, you know, man. You know, he should have had more assists. He had some great dishes that just weren't finished. But once he gets to know his teammates a little bit better in game situations, he's going to be more comfortable. And, you know, I felt it reached a point late in the first half where I felt like maybe we were throwing up some threes just to break, you know, just to take the lid off the basket, just to get some momentum. And they weren't the greatest, you know, looks. Like I said, when they were shooting right, their threes, they had their feet underneath them. But we were taking some threes that were either contested or out of rhythm, like – you know, we need to do a better job of defending the three, and we need to do a better job of selecting, you know, with threes. And then we took a couple of threes that didn't go in that looked like they were, you know, they were great shots, but they just didn't fall. So first game, I'm not reading too much into it. You know, we'll see what happens. Hey, you were talking about the schedule, people complaining about the schedule. You know, we have Maryland Eastern Shore on the schedule, and they're rated. Yes, sir. Very, very, the people call them UMass instead of, you know, University of Maryland Eastern Shore. hey, take note. You can't take anything for granted. Last night they played at Georgia Tech. The game went into overtime before, you know, Georgia Tech finally pulled it out. So if they're one of the worst teams in Division I and they took Georgia Tech to overtime on the road in their first game of the season, it just shows that everyone is getting, you know, Division I athletes. You know, obviously the teams in the bigger conferences get bigger and better players. But still, these players at the smaller schools are still pretty good. And I see you just can't take games like that. For
no. Brad says, without Kaysen's performance, we don't win. I tell you what, he definitely played a lot better, guys, than I just talked about, than – I expect. And again, Johnny, you hear a lot of hype and you hear, oh yeah, this is our year. And I'm not trying to, every team does it. I'm not trying to down the program because you and I are two of the biggest basketball fans for East Carolina. But I will say that, and not that they weren't only ones, but I will say I've heard a lot of good comments about our point guards. I've heard a lot of good comments, as you know, about our big men. Speaking of big men, here's a guy that you know his name. Johnny, Gio, I love Gio. He was exactly what the doctor ordered when it comes to, we've been looking for a big man that's more than just 7 foot, that really is athletic. And I felt like he plays more like a power forward or a wing than he does a center.
Oh, absolutely, because he's so athletic. And, you know, he did lead, led the team in rebounds, even though he only played 24 minutes because, you know, this team has depth, especially in the front court. And it looks like we're going to be a 10 deep team for now. And maybe we'll add a few more pieces along the way after, you know, some other guys get acclimated. But right now, of the 10 guys that we're going to have in the rotation, I have confidence in all of them. I mean, Perkovic, another 6'10 guy. He's a freshman, you know, so this was his first, you know, college game. And he still played well. You know, he had 7 points in 16 minutes. So, you know, if he would have played 40 minutes, he would have averaged like 18 points. So he had good shot selection. You know, he had some boards. So, you know, and that guy is just not even a main piece. He's like an auxiliary piece. But I liked what I saw with him. Tybo Bailey, I think we didn't see the real Tybo today. I mean, I think he'll have better games in the future.
Of course.
Delorier, you mentioned, Dave, that you spoke to the assistant coach and he was telling you about, you know, he was raving about Delorier. And yeah. I liked what I saw with him too. He's not stiff at all. That guy is another big guy that's very athletic. All of our 6'10 guys are athletic. None of them are stiff. But Eli, you know, now I know what you were talking about when you said, you know, he wouldn't be afraid to shoot a three. He didn't make the three that he took, but he didn't look like a 6'10 guy shooting it. It looked like good form. So, you know, I'm excited about what we'll see going down the road.
How about this? Irving said possibly the best low post potential since Lebo's CIT team. That would be, I guess he's referring to the 2013 run that we had, that we won that championship. And I'll never forget, I was working in Raleigh and the guy that was a big Carolina fan in the newsroom, I won't say his name. Oh, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It doesn't count. I said, what you don't understand is we're not saying that the CIT is as big a tournament as the NCAA. What you don't understand is when you don't have basketball tradition and you have a good coach like Jeff Lebo and he gets you like over 20 wins, you win the whole thing. And Akeem, and he has the same last name as me, Richmond, hits that three at Weber State. I mean, come on. That was and the late, great Jeff Charles had battled his first time with cancer. He had just come back, did the game, and Sy says, Jeffrey! But anyway, that team, yes, that team was a really good team. And I really believe in, you know, Johnny, you and I believe in Coach Schwartz, and we're going to continue to improve with, I believe, with this team. And, you know, I definitely see a winning season here, unless there's a whole bunch of injuries and something like that happens where we're depleted. But if everybody stays healthy, that might be Captain Obvious. I do think this is the best Schwartz team, definitely on paper. There's no question on paper how they pan out, and chemistry is a whole different ball game. But what you saw, the eyeball test tonight, I really felt like first game, like you said, you don't want to read too much and you don't want to read too little in the first game. It is what it is. It's the first game and you move on to the next one. And Johnny, I know that we're going to have a short show tonight, but that University of Richmond game is going to be huge. I hate that it's on Saturday because I wish it was a home game where you have the homecoming football game and then you can go catch a basketball game and they'll give you, you know, like a cheap ticket to go into the basketball game. But anyway, it is what it is, as they say, and Pirates will be on the road on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'm going to address, I know you're being optimistic about, you know, this might be a better team, but it's hard to say that when we don't have RJ. You know, we need to find someone. We're never going to find an RJ, don't get me wrong, but we need to find someone that we can ISO, like, to get an open shot. When we need one, and we just don't have, from what I can see, way early, but we just don't have a natural shooter. Not that even RJ wasn't even really a natural shooter, and Riley's an excellent scorer. Riley's a scorer. He's not a shooter, and his shot, I don't know. If somebody was working with him during the offseason or whatever, his shot didn't look good to me tonight. You know, outside the paint when he was shooting a jumper, or even his foul shots, something doesn't look right there. I'm sure they'll fix it. But yeah, we need a scorer, a proven scorer, before I'm going to say that we're a better team.
All right, here's Chuck says, what do you think about Corker? He had 5 assists, 2 turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed. I really was. He played a lot of minutes. And like I said earlier, his turnovers, I think he had two in the first, like, 30 minutes. So, you know, you can't win without a good point guard. And we were worried about that, you know, going into this season. And it appears that we have two players that are very capable to play the point. And that's huge. We just need someone that can shoot it. We got the front court. We'll get better, you know. Well, it's too early to make any type of assessments with shooting, but somebody needs to step up. And Mbang showed some promise. I will say that.
Yes. Yeah, a lot better than what we expected. I mean, well, again, we've heard things. You know, I told you the ones we've heard about, and we've talked off air a few times, and now having our first Pirate Basketball Overtime. And, again, put your questions and comments. We appreciate we have a bigger crowd tonight, Johnny. So I guess between our being doing this show since March of 2018 and also when the Pirates win, man, we have the best fan base in America. I'm not kissing up to you. I truly believe that. And all you have to do is put a winning product on the field or the court, no matter what sport it is. And I'm telling you, I've seen big crowds considering what sport it is, like volleyball, soccer, softball, different ones that are fan base. So looking forward to basketball, and it's my favorite time of year. You've got football, you've got basketball, you've got, I mean, the Canes were up 3-0, Johnny, over the New York Rangers. The Hornets are winning by 2 currently. So we'll keep an eye on that, and Pirates with a big win. So a good night at my house, for sure. And very excited, by the way, tomorrow night. I don't know if you're going to. Tomorrow night we have David Glenn on our preview for, I was going to say Temple. It's actually Charlotte. I've got to get him outdated in the past tense now. But Charlotte is going to be, I'm looking forward to that tonight, tomorrow night for our preview. And we're working on getting a Charlotte guest for our preview. That'll take place tomorrow night at 8:30 right here. So wherever you watch your favorite show.
We're going to have David Glenn. Is David Glenn going to be joining us?
Yeah, tomorrow night he's going to talk a lot of different topics, including the he told me today that the Pirate football is an interesting topic, and I was really happy to hear him say that, because that is a huge compliment coming from David Glenn. He's not one to, you know, he's from Philly, and he's not one to mince words.
Hey, Dave, I'm curious, is anybody commenting that the audio is less than perfect? It sounds funny to me, but I don't know if it's on my end, but is anybody commenting about the audio at all?
Yes, yeah, same mine. Let me see if I can sign out and come back in.
Anybody out there hearing anything that sounded less than perfect right there with Dave? I think I'm sounding fine. I just heard it when he spoke. Hopefully he can get back and fix it. But as far as the game tonight, very happy that we got that win. Yeah, we kept the streak alive. Another opening day win. But, you know, this one was against a D1 team. A lot of those wins were against Coker and Elizabeth City State, North Carolina Wesleyan, and teams along those lines. And I think that diminishes the streak a little bit. But, you know, this was an honest, good first game win. Are you back, Dave? Oh, boy.
Yeah,
there you go.
What's going on with my... All right, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. It's just scratchy.
Yeah, when you talk, that's what I'm trying to figure out. When you talk is when I'm hearing that. So I'm trying to figure out. I don't think it's you. I'm just trying to figure out why that's happening.
You're okay now. I'm going to mute my mic. How about that?
Okay, so Irby said Rekason played like a man determined like not let any new players. I apologize. I'm going to try to get that. There we go. Reed Cason looked like a man determined to not let any new players dare take his spot. He looked like he was playing determined, maybe mad. Irving, I felt the same way too. I was really shocked, but he played with a lot of passion and a lot of love for the game. Right, Johnny?
Well, confidence too. He just, I'll be honest with you, he looked different. He just looked different. Even, I don't know, his body looked different. But he definitely looked more confident tonight, and that's an awesome sign because that's not something that would just be a one-off situation. You know, that's something that we're going to see for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Chuck said, got to play better to beat Michigan State. Well, that's yes, of course. Izzo is such a great coach in Michigan, and man, that goes without saying.
Well, we got to get Trevi back. I'm not exactly sure his status, and hopefully Jay Shane, hopefully he'll be fine too. But without those two, things are going to be much more difficult. But with those two, you know, we can go up toe to toe with Michigan State.
I don't know if you're going to be there for the Carolina game, but they got other ones that'll definitely be there, but fans going to go and see East Carolina game and hey, we're going to have a lot of fun regardless.
Yeah. I'm getting really bad lag. Yeah. Dave, you have your mic off now? Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Turn your mic on.
Turn it on.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I just feel like
it's strange. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we said everything, you know, that we needed to cover for this game. And oh, shoot, I had my mic off, Dave. Hey, so I think we covered pretty much everything for this game. Let's get ready to go to Richmond. And, you know, they're beatable. You know, as we discussed on Sunday night, they're not in the top 20. They're actually picked to finish 10th out of 14 teams in the Atlantic 10. So they will be at home. So, but I think that we can give them our best shot and leave Richmond with a win.